Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 12, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you, the one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." This is the word of the Lord.
Last time I was here, I talked about God's plan for work, and we went through a biblical survey of work from Genesis all the way to Revelation to try to understand how work changed because sin came into the world and how it changed again to be back to the original plan after Jesus came to the world. And we're going to do the same with Sabbath, okay? But before we begin, I'm going to ask you to move closer to a neighbor. And I've got some discussion questions for you. So before I talk, I need you to talk, okay? So I've got a few discussion questions. So shimmy up to some people. No one's allowed to sit alone for this part, okay? So you might have to move a little bit. If you see someone sitting alone, go interrupt their loneliness. Okay. All right. Here are the questions that I have for you. If you grew up in a God-fearing home, how did you practice Sabbath growing up? And how do you practice Sabbath now? Okay? So I got a couple of minutes for you. I'm going to appreciate that. Thank you for that. Thanks for your help. All right, so go ahead. Talk with your neighbor. Okay? If you grew up in a Christian home, how did you practice Sabbath? And how do you practice Sabbath now? Go ahead. All right, some of you had longer conversations than others. Some of you might have had a long list of do's and don'ts that you grew up with in Sabbath keeping, and others may have a long list of experiments that they've tried. I tried this, I tried that, I experimented with this. I don't know if I've got it quite right, but this is how I do it now, right? This is how we move through the world. This is how we live our life. We keep trying new things to see if it works, to see if it works for us, to see if it's a good fit for us. And today, as we go through this biblical survey from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we're going to see how Sabbath's original plan got changed by sin and then got changed again when Jesus came and is preparing us for eternity, okay? So if you're like me, I grew up in a Baptist home, which meant a lot of rules, right? A lot of legalism. And if I was asked to think about Sabbath growing up, I would think of rules. I would think of the do's and the don'ts. I would think of legalism. I would think of hardship. I would think of pressure. That's the exact opposite of God's plan for Sabbath. So we need to look at God's word so that we can get this right. Okay. Before we go into scripture, who here is living their best life? Anyone living their best life, right? Are you living large on Instagram? Do you have all the followers? Are you demonstrating the way other people should be living their life just by how cool everything is for you? There's incredible pressure these days to live your best life, to not experience FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. To have an Instagram-worthy lifestyle, to have something that sets you apart and makes you the envy of others. the anxiety that we see in the workplace all the time as we go as chaplains, the depression, the fear that people are living with simply because they're aiming for a standard. They're aiming for a life that they think they should have, but it's not achievable. It's not easy to get there. And I want to tell you that God's plan for Sabbath is to allow you to have your best life. Okay? So that's where we're headed. So let's start at the beginning. Genesis. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So there's some things that we need to understand about Sabbath. It is ingrained into the order of creation. The world was created with Sabbath in it. There are 7 days, and one of them is to be the Sabbath. Okay? This is not man's plan. This is God's plan. This is how he made the world. It's part of the created order. It is a blessed day. So it's God has set this day aside to commemorate, to celebrate the perfection of his creation. Because he made it perfect, he was able to rest on the seventh day. It's also a holy day. It's a day for God, not for you. One of the twists that's come into the world is that we think that leisure is up to us. We think that we get to define what is restful, right? The tyranny of leisure is outstanding. I mean, we know that we worship a lot of gods here in Vancouver, and one of them is lifestyle, right? I am going to have climbing shoes in my trunk. I'm always going to have all of my cool activities on display, ready to go at a moment's notice. And there's this tyranny of leisure. But guess what? Sabbath isn't for you. Sabbath is for the Lord. It's his day. It is to be a day of rest. And I would like to say this about rest. It is learned behavior. You have to learn how to rest. Rest is not just the absence of work or the absence of stress or the absence of other things. Rest is something else that we have to learn. But we do have this idea that it's 24 consecutive hours, okay, a day. Of course, that traditionally in the Jewish world, their Sabbath went from sunset on Friday until sunset on Saturday, right? That was their Sabbath. They believed that the beginning of the day was when the sun set. So the sun on the old day sets, and so that first night belongs to the next day, okay? And then the sun comes up, and you finish the day in the sunlight, and when that sun goes down, Sabbath is over. Or any day, for that matter, is over. So it's part of creation. It's part of the original design of the universe, is to have a Sabbath. Now, as God was taking his people and crafting them into a nation, he decided that it was going to be important to give them more rules to live by. And we call these the law, right? This is the law given by God. And Sabbath is number 4 in God's top 10 commands, right? God crafted his top 10 commands into the 10 commandments. Sabbath is number 4. This is what it says. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath for the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay, so Sabbath was part of the original design, the original order of the universe, and now Sabbath has become a command to be obeyed. So Sabbath keeping became part of what it meant to be a God follower. If you wanted to be part of the nation of Israel, along with all the rest of the community, you had to keep the Sabbath. So step number one, remember the Sabbath. Okay? We are a forgetful people. We are about to celebrate communion because the Lord crafted it for us knowing that we do not live every day in the light of his great sacrifice and his grace. And so it's good to remember. And we're going to do that today. We need to keep it holy. Somehow we have to set it apart. Again, it's for him, not for us. It has to be a day that's different from the Mondays to the Saturdays, or whatever your 6 days are. You shall do no work. This is the command, right? This is the command. You shall do no work. I think probably since the time I turned 7, I've worked every day of my life of some sort, right? Whether it was doing chores for my parents or whether it was working for other people or working for myself, I actually don't know how to rest. I actually don't know how to take that day off. I don't know if you're with me on that. I'm not going to talk a lot about my Sabbath keeping, and we're going to get to reasons why soon. But I do have an aha moment that I want to share with you. Notice this. No one in your household is to work. And so, as a father, I have 2 daughters, and my wife is a tiger mom, right? She is the daughter of immigrants, Chinese immigrants from Malaysia. She has got those kids in every activity that they're supposed to be in, right? And when do they take a day off? And I found myself sitting there thinking, I don't let my kids have a Sabbath because I want the best life for them. I want them to have maximum opportunities. Come on, it is a war out there. Who's going to get into university? Who's going to get into the program of their choice? We've got to join that battle. We've got to give our kids the best chance they can. Put them into cram school. Get those math scores up. Make sure that they have all the advantages. But they never get a day off. They never get a Sabbath. Because if they're not studying, then they're doing homework. And if they're not doing homework, then they're doing their practices. And if they're not doing that, well, you're not exercising enough, right? Get out to the pool. So I had to begin a conversation with my wife about what are we teaching our kids here? Are we teaching them to rest? Are they learning Sabbath in our home? And that conversation is not easy, and we didn't necessarily always agree, but what God wants us to do is have the conversation and to talk to each other about it. And so we did. And I can tell you more of my story later. We go to the next passage. This is from Leviticus. This is later on in the Bible. The Lord spoke to Moses on Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I'm going to give you," so he's talking about the land of Israel, "the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord." Okay, so something new is happening here. "For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit, but in the 7th year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land. A Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows of itself in your harvest or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the whole land. The Sabbath of the land shall provide food for you, for yourself and for your male and female slaves or servants and for your hired worker and the sojourner who lives with you and for your cattle and the wild animals that are in your land. And all its yield shall be for food." So, there's a change there. We're going to call it expanding Sabbath. And as we discover, Sabbath is just going to keep growing. So here's the first expansion of Sabbath. You know about the expansion of the universe as God created it. Here's the expanding Sabbath. There's more Sabbath. Sabbath is now bigger. Sabbath is now better. Because God wanted his nation, his people, to be part of reversing the curse of sin. The first thing that happened when we sinned in the garden is that we destroyed the original plan for work. And so now work became odious. Work became a problem. Work became the only way to survive. And we had to work. So now God is trying to expand Sabbath to show that he is the one that is doing the providing. Our labor, our work does not provide what we need in life. This is counterintuitive. And we still don't know how to really live this out. But hear this. The work that I do, God says, does not pay my way through life. Does not put food on the table for my family. That is a blessing from God. He gives that money to buy food. I don't earn that money to buy food. And he says the Sabbath is a way to learn this. The Sabbath can be a teacher. If we practice Sabbath in the right way, we will learn that it's God that provides, not our own labor. Have you ever felt that pressure? Oh, you know, that extra day. If I just work on that day, I can get ahead. If I just put a little bit more in to my studies, to my research, to my business, if I can work that seventh day, then I will get ahead of the competition. God says, uh-uh. It's not how it works. I provide. I bless. You don't earn it. You don't achieve it yourself. So Sabbath is a teacher. If we learn to take a day off, we will learn that it's God that's blessing us, not us achieving things with our own hands. Whoa, I wasn't expecting to hear that today at church. This is spiritual formation. Note also that this is about a community. God sees us as a people. We see ourselves as individuals. This is what I do. I do this. I do that. God looks at us and sees us as the people of God, as a community. And he wants us to move and live in different ways than our society around us. He sees us as a group, as a community, as a team. Sabbath keeping is a community event, not a personal choice. Bring, this is from Micah chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Try out my way, says God. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it all. That's Micah chapter 3, verses 10. This is intended to be spiritual formation. We're supposed to test God in the sense that we're supposed to try his way and see if it doesn't result in us having our best life. Try it. Take a Sabbath. Take a day where you don't try to get ahead, where it's actually God's day, and see if he doesn't bless as he promised he would. Well, we know that things don't stay simple, right? So God starts to accuse his people when he starts to find that they are not following him. One of the things he constantly accuses them of is not Sabbath keeping. Okay. In Isaiah, we hear God say, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. That sounds like your best life, right? I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. His honor, his glory is attached to the fact that Sabbath keepers don't miss out. Sabbath keepers instead are blessed. And the glory, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. So, here's the identity of a Sabbath breaker. A Sabbath breaker, according to Isaiah, is doing as we please, going our own way, speaking idle words. Is that gossip? Is that face chat and Snaptagram? I don't know. But idle words mean something in this passage. Sabbath, again, is to be the teacher, to teach us to rest, to set aside a day for God, and to wait for him to bless instead of us to grab what we want with both of our hands. And then we get to enjoy the Lord. We get to be with him. This is the call to your best life. This is it. But instead, we get growing, we have a growing problem, which is that it's so good, well, now everyone has to do it, right? Sabbath is such a great plan, and it's supposed to be for the whole community. So did you hear that Joe didn't celebrate Sabbath this week? Oh, no, no, Joe didn't come. Joe wasn't there. Joe didn't do this. Joe didn't do that. And now we end up with a growing legalism. Let me show you what happens. In Matthew, we read how Jesus was confronted by the teachers of the law because they thought that he caught his disciples out in breaking the Sabbath rules, right? It's kind of like what God promised would happen. He said, you know what? For this stubborn people, my glorious law, the law that's supposed to set them free, this law that's supposed to give them life, is just going to be do on do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, until they fall backward and are snared. And these people were snared in their legal systems. And so in the middle of this ideological battle that Jesus was having with these religious teachers and leaders, he declares something incredible. He says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And this is a declaration for the ages. So Jesus endorses the Sabbath. He says, it's my day. Sabbath is for me. So he doesn't reject the Sabbath. He does the exact opposite. He also establishes that legalism and Sabbath keeping is always wrong. So, you know, we try to discipline ourselves. We try to come to church. We try to spend a day at rest. But the minute it becomes do on do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, we're going to be falling backwards. We're going to be ensnared. We're going to be trapped in the rule, and we're going to miss the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus also establishes something really interesting. He establishes in our passage that the Sabbath is a day for doing good. Oh, that's new. That's new. I like that. This is the first do rule of Sabbath. Sabbath used to be a bunch of don't rules, right? Don't work. Don't let your kids work. Don't let your slaves work. Don't let your animals work. Now it's a do rule. Do good. The Sabbath is a day for doing good. And he was very happy to help underline this for his accusers. And I want you to know that Jesus' resurrection has changed our Sabbath forever. Okay? The early followers of Jesus in the church, they recognized immediately that because everything had changed because of the resurrection, they moved the Sabbath day, the day of celebration, the day to set aside for God. They moved it to Sunday, the first day of the week, which is why we're meeting together on a Sunday. The early church knew that the Lord of the Sabbath had now made the world a different place. God established the Sabbath originally on a Saturday, the last day of the week, and we moved it to the first day of the week as a community of believers because nothing was the same. Nothing was the same again. Well, there are more changes coming too. There's more changes involved in Sabbath. So, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. All the rules have changed. Now I'm confused. What am I supposed to do now? Because I want to know what the rule is. I want to know the supposed tos. I want to obey God. What does he want me to do on the Sabbath? There's got to be a thing to do. There's got to be a way to know. Could someone just give me the checklist? If I do 1, 2, 3, 4. If I do these 4 things, then I know I'm right with God. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want the rules. And Jesus says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I came to fulfill the Sabbath. And it's not about the rules anymore. It's about me. So now we have a problem. We don't know how to live like that. So, does Jesus care if I work on the Sabbath? Can I pick up those hours on a Sunday? Can I go work? And isn't doing good a type of work? Like if I do good, like just ask anyone who volunteers here at church and they're showing up, you know, at 7 a.m. on a Sunday, right? Is it work? It feels like work sometimes, right? Even practicing worship songs feels like work sometimes. The discipline of practice. Is this what Jesus saved us for? So is Sabbath keeping required or not? Well, the first council of Jerusalem got together and they wanted to answer the simple question, how Jewish do you have to be in order to be a Christ follower? How Jewish do you have to be? How many of the rules for the Jewish people do we as Christians have to follow? So they went and they had their council, and this is what they said. They said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burdens than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. Okay, so I checked this a few times. It says nothing about Sabbath here. There is no, and the Sabbath is good for you if you want to do it. It doesn't even say that. There's no mention. No mention of Sabbath. So, from the book of Acts to the end of the Bible, there's no mention of Sabbath? Is it done? It disappears? Poof. It's like something that was really important, but then after Jesus came, it's not important anymore? I'm confused. Well, we have a question. Let's keep reading the Bible. Okay, let's keep reading. Have a look at Colossians. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink. Again, this is, you don't have to be Jewish to be Christian, okay? Or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Hey, we have a mention of Sabbath here. These are a shadow of things to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Sabbath keeping was a shadow of something that was coming. And that substance was Jesus Christ himself. Sabbath keeping, keeping it holy, keeping a day of rest, was a shadow of what life in Christ is supposed to be like. It was the precursor to what we are supposed to have now. There are many types, there are many symbols in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in Jesus. Sabbath is just one of them. But Sabbath didn't disappear. It didn't go away. Instead, we have Jesus himself. Sabbath laws point to what life in Jesus is supposed to be like. And they've all been replaced, all those laws have been replaced by a sin-free relationship with Jesus himself. So instead of the laws, we get Jesus. Instead of the rules, we get Jesus. So now it's time to expand Sabbath even further. Sabbath laws were mere shadows of the truth in Jesus Christ. The fact is that in Christ, if we live in Christ, if we abide in him, he is the vine, we are the branches. If we live the life in community with Jesus, we can have a Sabbath life. Not just a day, 7 days. Well, this is kind of cool. This sounds, again, like your best life, doesn't it? In fact, we're free to keep the Sabbath day holy, and we can keep every other day holy as well. We don't have to stick to just one day. That's it. Heaven's breaking into earth. The eternal, the perfect plan of God is breaking into earth through Jesus Christ. And so now we can have 7 Sabbaths in a row, and that's not retirement. Okay? There's something else going on here. There's something about the way we get to live. We're free to experience the blessing of work and Sabbath every day. And we're free to honor him on his day and on all the other days. We're not locked into a, this day is for God and these 6 days are for me. Every day can belong to him because of what Jesus has done. So now, we get to keep the Sabbath out of love, out of a response to God's goodness, not as a command. See, we're free to be Sabbath people, but not because God commanded it, but because Christ allows us to live a sin-free life with him, allows us to live a free life. So if we reject the legalism, we can live as Sabbath people. And let me tell you why this is important. This is important because the Sabbath is about eternity. So then, this is Hebrews chapter 4, 9, 10, 11. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. He's saying, let's aim for heaven. Let's be people that are headed towards heaven. That's Sabbath. That's rest. Another way to say it, heaven is Sabbath, and Sabbath is heaven. In the same way that we learn so much about Jesus through the Old Testament, we are now learning that being with Jesus, Emmanuel, right? You remember your Christmas stories. God with us. That's heaven. That's heaven. We can do that now. We don't have to wait. So, it's a taste of eternity. And in fact, you know, if that's where we're headed, we should get good at this. We should work at this. We should try this. We shouldn't wait to try Sabbath when we get to heaven. Because the plan is for us to enjoy it now. Like his day, like Jesus says he's the Lord of the Sabbath, all eternity belongs to Jesus as well. And so our obedience to him includes responding in love to his grace, responding to the opportunity to experience Sabbath today and on Monday. We get to try these things out. We get to work it out. We get to see what is a good fit for us. And is there going to be work in heaven? You bet. And we talked about that last time, but the Sabbath blessing will also be there. I just want to give you a quick look at what God says heaven is to be experienced as. This is from Revelation chapter 21. So this is right at the end of the Bible. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everything. I'm making Monday new. I'm making Tuesday new. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm making them all new, says God. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Eternity is living in community with God, and you don't have to wait. You can enjoy heaven now. That's what Sabbath is for us. Live with God now. Don't wait. Don't wait. If there's anything separating you from God, if there's anything stopping you from experiencing Sabbath rest, from experiencing heaven on earth, deal with it today as we come to communion. I just want to do a quick review. So here's some Sabbath thoughts for 2020. It is a spiritual discipline to some degree, but it's supposed to be a blessing, not a legalistic thing for you to follow. Crafts our faith. When we put it into practice, when we try it out, we learn to trust God and not our own activities. It forms us. And we get good things from Sabbath practice because Sabbath is a teacher. It is also a day to practice spiritual disciplines, right? Such as Bible reading, prayer, loving others, spending time with them. But you don't have to just do that on Sundays. You can do it every day. You're free to do it every day in Christ. You know, in the same way that proper rest reduces anxiety, proper Sabbath keeping can reduce anxiety and depression and fear because we get to be with God. We get to be with our Maker and with His people. Third, it prepares us for heaven as we learn how to live as Sabbath people. As we learn how to live with heaven here on earth, we're free. We're free to get ready for heaven. And finally, be observant of the Sabbath in your spirit, not in the law. It's not a rule for you to follow. It's a relationship for you to live in. And I encourage you to work that out. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes just to sit in thought before Pastor Norman comes up. And I want you to ask God, is there anything new that He wants you to do for your Sabbath? And I'll remind you of this. The heart never stops working, but it always rests between each beat. The heart never stops working, but it takes a rest after every beat. God is calling us to be Sabbath people. I'll give you a minute just to see, is the Lord putting anything on your heart? And then I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as I put my hand on my chest, as I feel my heart beating, I realize that work-life balance is a lie from our culture and our society. It doesn't exist. Work is life. Sabbath rest is life. We long to live with You instead of walking alone through this world. We long to be in community with You. And yes, we're still this side of heaven. Yes, we're not going to get it right every time. And yes, our own sin and other people's sin gets in the way. But You have made it possible for us to live our best life as Sabbath-keeping people, people who know what eternity is and get to live with You now. And so we thank You, Lord. Continue to walk with us as we keep having these discussions and negotiations with our spouses, as we talk with other brothers and sisters, and as we talk with our own children as well. How do we keep the Sabbath in 2020? We keep it by being with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.